Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning, and today my guest is Dr. Eva Selhub, who is a medical doctor. She's an instructor of medicine at the Harvard Medical School and a clinical associate at the Benson Henry Institute for Mind-Body Medicine at Mass General Hospital. She's board certified in internal medicine, and she's also trained in Eastern medical practices. She's also written a couple of books. One's called The Love Response, and the other, Your Brain on Nature. She's been published in medical journals, featured in national publications. And Dr. Selhub recently attended a Alexander Technique workshop in California. It was her first experience with the technique, and we're going to talk today about her initial impressions of the technique. And I hope it's okay. I'm going to refer to you as Eva. Is that all right?
That's great. That's just fine.
Eva, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And I wonder if you were to encounter someone today who wanted to know what this Alexander technique thing is that you just were exposed to, how would you describe it to them?
You know, that's a really good question because people have asked me since I've been back. And basically what I tell them is it's not very different from the work that I do when I work with people on their stress response. Mm-hmm. And it's working with your body and also your mind. And it actually also works on emotions and how it's habituated to take on habits or positions in the body, beliefs, what have you, that are stuck in the stress response, and basically teach you how to gently and non-judgmentally let go of those habits that have put you in whatever positioning you're in, like I said, either your thought process or your actual body, and redirect that attention to habits, which is a way of sitting and the way of standing and the way of walking, that actually aligned with the way your body is supposed to be and needs to be in its healthiest way.
Mm-hmm. And how is it that you happen to sign up for that course in the first place?
I actually knew really very, very, very little about the Alexander Technique. And my dear friend, Michael Gelb, who's one of the teachers, one of the masters in the Alexander Technique, invited five of his friends to come for the week because it was also going to be New Year's, and to be there and to learn and to gather and to have a good time. So really, I just went to be with my friend.
Oh, okay.
And you know, the learning was a happy consequence.
Oh, that's excellent. From what you've seen and experienced of the Alexander Technique so far, do you see, I know that you've studied various mind-body approaches to patient care, including some Eastern medical practices. Do you see any resonance there with Alexander work?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that there's many, many different ways to get to the same place. And I think Alexander is one of those ways. It's a very applicable way for many people. You know, the goal is for all of us to get out of a place of stress and get into a place of ease, mentally, physically, psychologically, and spiritually and energetically. And, you know, though it on the outside, it looks like it's a movement technique. It really is all of the above. And it really helps people get into a place of ease within and without. And so, yeah, I think it is very similar to many of the other practices that I've been exposed to.
And when you were on that course, did you experience any changes yourself, or did you observe any changes in some of the other participants?
Oh, sure. You know, too many to count. You know, one of them, you know, is just basically having less strain in my back and in my neck, and my voice being able to be deeper and clearer, and watching other people's voices become more clear and more project better. People in pain were in less pain. People were walking taller. So absolutely saw a lot of differences.
Mm-hmm. And I'm interested that you mentioned some help with back pain. My impression is that most primary care doctors are not real happy to deal with people with back pain because they don't really have, they often don't have any good solutions. First of all, would you agree with that?
Well, I would agree that doctors don't like to deal with anything that they don't have solutions for.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of things.
Sure. and back pain.
It's not just back pain, which is, you know, why Eastern and Western medicine need to be branched together, because together they have more answers than one alone. So in general, I don't think doctors like to not have answers. And I think there's a lot of, you know, alternative practitioners that don't have answers to chronic back pain. So I think anything that enables a patient to be more empowered and to be able to feel better, you know, is always a good thing for a primary care doctor.
And what do you think it would take for primary care doctors and doctors in general to be receptive to something like the Alexander technique as something to suggest to their patients?
You really, I find, and because this is what I do, you know, in general, is try to bring in the knowledge of Eastern traditions to the Western medical world, is that most people do not open up to new ideas or different ways of being unless they're actually in pain. So, you know, most people do not search for meaning unless there's a reason to search for it. And so usually you have to apply, you know, you have to sort of intrigue their own sense of pain, their own sense of discomfort, their own sense of stress. You know, they might have so many patients that they haven't been able to help, and they finally say, okay, I need to figure out something else. Or they're in pain themselves, and they say, okay, I need to figure out something else. Nothing is working. Mm-hmm. So usually it comes from the personal journey.
Mm-hmm. Although it's interesting, I'm not sure, you may not be familiar with the study that was conducted in the UK that was published about 5 years ago in the British Medical Journal about the Alexander technique and back pain. Are you familiar with that study? Well, it was a large-scale study. It was actually kind of the first large-scale study on that topic. And in England now, it was sponsored by the National Health Service, and in England now, GPs are encouraged to, as it were, prescribe Alexander technique lessons for patients with chronic back pain. Prescribe, I put that in quotes, but they're encouraged to suggest that to their patients. And I was speaking with another doctor here in the States about that and asking him the same sort of question I asked you, and he said, it's really a shame from our point of view that that study didn't appear in, say, the New England Journal of Medicine, where it would have had a big impact here, whereas British Medical Journal, well, we know it's a good thing, but it's a different country. Do you have any thoughts about that?
No, not really. I mean, there's a lot of studies that go into the New England Journal, and they don't really affect any doctors.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think, you know, this idea of everything needing to be validated scientifically, I think it is wonderful that more research is being done and that validity is happening scientifically. But really, when it comes down to the everyday doctor who's practicing, mm-hmm. There are so many studies being thrown at them and practice guidelines and, mm-hmm. you know, insurance base is what they're going to cover, what they're not. And there is a lot of, you know, it's not like the Alexander technique is covered by insurance. It's a completely self-pay model.
Right.
So, you know, advocating for your patients to go pay something out of pocket. You know, a lot of patients don't have that kind of, you know, so there's a lot going into how a doctor makes decisions that really, you know, I think it's a wonderful thing for these studies to be published in our mainstream journals to get more awareness. Absolutely. And I think that that's important for global awareness, and it's important for patients to know about this stuff and demand it and go do it. I think it's a wonderful thing when doctors, you know, acknowledge it and recommend it. But ultimately, it's really up to society, to people, to the population to say, you know, this is what I want to do. And acupuncture, for instance, has gotten more widespread, not so much because doctors are recommending it, it's getting more widespread because patients are demanding it.
And the difference between their demand for acupuncture and their, say, potential demand for the Alexander technique, what is the difference that makes acupuncture more popular, do you think?
First of all, I think acupuncture's been around longer, as we know, and people have been more vocal about it. They've been around longer, they've been fighting for it longer, they've been trying to get awareness longer, they've been, lobbying for it longer, so there's a louder voice for it, which is why it's become more popular. But they've been working on this for a really, really long time. Alexander technique has been around, but not that long. And I think one of the Alexander practitioners was saying that one thing about the Alexander folks is they're not very good at marketing themselves
That is
and having a
absolutely
big
true.
voice out there. So it's really about getting a bigger voice.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more about both of those last two statements. We are not good marketers of ourselves. That's true. One final question. It might be a little bit repetitive, but if you were talking to a primary care physician, and it was your intent to get them at least interested in the technique, how would you approach it with someone in that situation?
Like I said, for me, it's always about the personal journey, so that I would take a little bit of what I remembered, of what I learned, and show them. I would have them experience the difference.
I see, right.
The way people learn is through contrast. People don't know that something feels good until you show them what it feels like, and they realize it feels better than the way they were feeling before. So people don't know that they're living in a habitual stress until they end up having, feeling what it's like to be at ease. And so that really is really the way they have people have to experience it themselves, and that's how they become believers.
And the other way I think it has happened, is almost all of the doctors that I've interviewed about the technique learned about it initially from their wives.
Well,
How about that?
that's assuming that all the doctors are male.
Well, in this case, most of them were. It's interesting. Is there anything you want to add before we come to a close?
No, I think you've asked some good questions.
Well, I want to thank you very much for being on the program today. And my guest has been Dr. Eva Selhub. She's, as I said before, an instructor of medicine at Harvard Medical School, and she also, I don't think I mentioned this earlier, but she has a private practice in Waltham, Massachusetts, in which she provides integrative medicine and resiliency coaching to her clients. And she's also a motivational speaker. Eva, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me.